Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Impuga. This evening we talk about political developments in East Africa. And with us tonight is Isaac Onjiri. Isaac is a senior political reporter for the Daily Nation newspaper and the chairman of the Political Journalists Association of Kenya. He joins us from Nairobi by phone. Good evening, Isaac.
I'm fine, brother.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Yes, we're also joined by Charles Mwanguhi Ampagi, his bureau chief for the East African newspaper in Kampala. Good evening, Charles.
Good evening, Douglas. Good evening, Isaac.
And we also have Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst and regular panelist. He joins us from Durban, South Africa. Suleiman, good evening.
Good evening, Douglas. Good evening, Charles and Isaac. Thank you very much for inviting us.
You're welcome. As I said, we're talking about East Africa tonight. East Africa, it seems, I don't know where to start even, because in Uganda, the economy is lagging, instability is on the rise. In Tanzania, a lawmaker is in jail for insulting the president. But let's begin in Kenya with Isaac, where we're told that lecturers and university staff and some specialist doctors have downed their tools to demand for structured salaries. Can you put us up to date, Isaac?
Yes, it's true that yesterday the lecturers announced that they are beginning their strike today. And that is actually the position. You know, Kenya has had a lot of economic pressure recently because of the dispute we had and the long period of time taken during our elections last year. So the government looks like it's not doing well financially, a lot of instability, we have the devolved government here, and what we hear is that money is not being sent to the devolved government. So some counties are even unable to pay salaries. The country is facing a serious economic crisis at the moment.
I see. Talking of governments have facing serious economic problems and failing to pay salaries, Charles, your government there seems to be the same pot.
Well, there's been a series of a number of issues in the Ugandan economy. Fuel prices have gone up to the highest they have been in a long time, above 4,000 Uganda shillings, which is more than a dollar, about $1.20, I think. We've added to that the cost of milk for a long part of the last few months, which has also tremendously gone up. But the Uganda Bureau of Statistics released its annual inflation report for the month of February yesterday, indicating that overall inflation had actually gone down. And I have seen a report today. We have actually published a report today on the East African newspaper website, indicating that Uganda is likely to grow, the economy is likely to grow stronger than the Kenyan economy. But that's not a reason for any meaningful comfort. The mining in Kampala and Jamba crazy with expensive fuel, vehicles are getting stuck and running out of fuel on the road. There is a bit of tail in town.
I see. Suleiman, at times it doesn't matter much whether the economy is growing or not. It's how the government spends the money or how to waste the money. Like in Uganda, I'm told there is a very high cost for administrative costs, like having so many ministers, so many advisors, and the waste and corruption involved.
Exactly, Douglas. But I think the bottom line is that in the region, so long as our politicians fail to understand that until when we have fixed our politics, until when African countries fix their politics, the issue of economic development will remain a mirage. I mean, if there is uncertainty in the economy can't grow. You want to get investment when there is uncertainty. So what is happening in the whole of the East African region is that there is restlessness, there is uncertainty. That is why they have all of them to surge. So whether the politicians try to sugarcoat what is happening, the truth of the matter is that so long as there is political uncertainty, so long as there is restlessness, we want to see economic development, we want to see economic growth. And that is where Douglas and the fellow panelists, that is where South Africa has surged ahead of all African countries. For us in South Africa, the level of patriotism which we have, the level of consciousness which the country has, it cannot sacrifice the nation because of politics of few individuals. That is why when the time came and the ANC realized that the former president Zuma had become a liability, they agreed, for the first time, they agreed to work with the opposition to support a motion of no confidence in their own president. They looked at the nation being bigger than the individuals, which has not happened in East Africa. In East Africa, the presidents, we are still playing the politics of individuals, whereby the presidents, their interests, their opportunism, their greed, their egocentrism is still above the interests of the whole nation.
I see. Well, as they say, you fight with the army you have. Isaac, some analysts have said the impasse, the tug of war between the Uhuru Kenyatta and Ruto versus Odinga doesn't seem to have ended yet. Maybe that one has an impact and may have emboldened these lecturers and medical doctors to go on strike. What's your take on that?
Yes, it's true that we faced economic crisis yesterday, also unstable politically, because we still have the government cracking down on opposition supporters. Yesterday, we saw a situation where policemen accosted a renowned businessman in Nairobi supporting opposition, Mr. Jimmy Wanjigi, and attempted to arrest him in the middle of the traffic jam in Nairobi. This is something that has been going on. We've seen the other incident where NRM General Medina Medina was deported from his own country to Canada. So politically, we are not very stable. The situation is still with worse, even several days after we heard the hearing rooms and a new government formed by President Uhuru Kenyatta.
Mm-hmm. So, yes. I see. Charles, Isaac there, as you mentioned, if the politics is not right, then you can't expect the economy and the development to go ahead.
That's a given. Because you see, what is the biggest challenge with South African economies is that in Uganda, for example, we have overstepped ourselves investing in politics, not in democracy, but in politics. And we end up not having money. Just in December last year, we spent a significant amount of money paying off members of parliament to amend the constitution to allow President Museveni to continue in power after he reaches 75 years by the 2021 election, which should have made him ineligible. And we spent a lot of time canvassing for that support, going out in the countryside. Officially, members of the parliament were given 29 million shillings to go and mobilize. And officially, we're hearing they were given up to 100 million. And just the other day, when the economy was struggling, the members of parliament who made that in fact amendment were being hosted to a party, Boga, just outside of a district in Buganda region, just outside of Kampala. Now, if you look at the Kenyan situation, Kenya overstretched itself to borrow money, one, to run the politics, but to invest in infrastructure projects, hoping that would exceed the public and blind it from the realities of what they're going through. We find the same situation in Tanzania because since he came to power, President John Pombe Magufuli has rattled up the economy, largely for political reasons. If that cannot lead the economy function the normal way they should be functioning when the attention of the leaders is more on the politics.
I see. Suleiman, as mentioned there, the Tanzanian situation, they may be trying to make to move ahead, maybe in the economy or whatever, in infrastructure, but the political space is closing. If you, a member of parliament criticizes the president and he goes to jail, today they banned some music, some songs from certain musicians in the country. Where does this one end?
Actually, since the election of Mr. John Magufuli, and the whole thing emanates from the unsolved problem from Zanzibar. Ever since that crisis was not solved, it has been going down. In Tanzania, the political space is closing up. They failed to sort out the issue of Zanzibar. It was left hanging. Yes, Mr. Mohamed Ali Mohamed won with 90%, but you remember it was a contested election. It was after Seif had won those elections, and the decided to take it their own way. From there, from Zanzibar, it comes to Tanzania. Tanzania itself is becoming more and more dictatorial. Actually, to put it more mildly, I think it would just say that once in seven sneezes, the whole region catches a cold. It seems the whole area now is affected by the template from Kampala. What is happening in Kampala is almost simmering through in the whole region. Leaders are becoming so egocentric, they are becoming so deceitful, so dishonest, so brutal, so arrogant. They are leaving the constitution aside. There is more military, there is more use of or misuse of security institutions, and there is more misuse of the judicial institution, as if these states are being captured by the president and a group of people who are following them. So it is very unfortunate. What is happening in the East African region, not only in Tanzania, but the whole East African region, is really very, very, very disappointing, and I think it is a cause for concern.
Yeah, Isaac, I remember last time we talked, the government had shut down some media houses. Since that time, are you in the media, in the Kenyan media, are you now doing more of self-censorship? Are you now scared to touch certain issues and topics? What has happened? What was the impact, in other words, of the shutdown? It hadn't happened there. It had been happening in Uganda for a long time. But what's the impact?
Censorship within the Kenyan media at the moment. And again, I must say, Douglas, that yesterday we had a situation where the general manager of the NTV, one of the leading television stations here, Mr. Linus Kaikai, was actually forced to resign from the Nation Media Group because of a position he took earlier when he tried to assert the independence of that particular media house a few weeks ago, when the government tried to force media houses not to broadcast a live political event at Uhuru Park. Mm-hmm. We have senior media people who are actually collaborating with the government, and that is making it very difficult for the media to maintain its independence. So from what I'm seeing, we are in for a very difficult time. We've had stories of, political leaders targeting huge shares in media houses. And this is, we fear that is likely to further kill the independence of the media. They are likely to, to go the Uganda or the Tanzanian way. You know, Kenyan media has been very independent for quite some time, but they are doing very badly at the moment.
I see. Well, for those just joining us, you are listening to Reporters Roundtable, and you are coming to you live from VOA Studios here in Washington. Tonight, we're talking about political events and developments in East Africa. Our panelists are Isaac Ongiri, a senior political reporter for the Daily Nation newspaper, Charles Mwangu-Hyampagi, East African bureau chief in Kampala, and Suleiman Mugula, a South African-based independent political analyst. And I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, here in Washington. Charles, picking up from Isaac's point there before I reintroduce the program, he mentioned in passing some media people collaborating were working with the government. That has been a common thing in Uganda. I want your take on that one, and then we move on to the issue of increased insecurity in Uganda, where there are rampant kidnappings, murders, highway robberies. Today, I'm told two people were killed, shot dead, attempting a robbery in some Kampala outskirts. So, bring us up to date.
Yes, that's been the issue of journalists collaborating with or working with security has been a major issue since the kidnapping of New Vision journalist Charles Setukui in mid this month. I think about on 15th or 14th of February when he was kidnapped. Much of the commentary that came out was actually that Charles Setukui had broken very important stories, but he was accused of being too close to the to security, particularly the Uganda Police Force and its head, the President of Police, Kale Kaihura. That is a major concern, but it doesn't justify the actions of the state against journalists and the methods of work where journalists are kidnapped. There's another Ugandan journalist who has been in jail since about October last year. A journalist called Reverend Baka. He was kidnapped, and only after pressure from a lawyer here and his family did they rush him quietly without representation and take him to court and charge him with prison, and send him to jail after 4 months of illegal detention without anybody knowing where he is. Now, when you talk about closure of media houses, Kenya is just learning from Uganda. This has been like almost normal. The Monitor publication, Monitor newspaper, which is part of the Nation Media Group, has been shut down 3 times between 2000, I think around 2002, mm-hmm. and to date. TBS, a popular radio station owned by Buganda Kingdom, was shut down for a whole year. The Red Paper is the latest one. It was shut down for about a month, and it has been shut down before. Local radio stations up country have been shut down before, and the government has gone to the extent of switching off social media when it thinks that might cause mobilization ground of spreading information that's uncomfortable with. Now, for governments that spend a lot of their time investing and focusing on those, they do not leave adequate resources or even the mental power to be able to fight against real crime, because all their focus is on politics and fears against the media.
I see. Suleiman.
Douglas. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go ahead. I was about to add on that, as Charles says there, if they spend all their time on politics, they have no time for real crime. And I was concerned about the increasing insecurity in Uganda.
The increasing security actually is a result of what is going on in the country, as my brother has said. First of all, when you listen to Charles, what is happening in Uganda or even in Kenya is what we can call, for us in South Africa here, we call it state capture. You have a nation which has been captured by the president and a small team surrounding him. What does it mean? It means the country has been generally now is under occupation by these guys. Parliament is compromised. The judiciary is compromised. The security institutions are compromised. So using the security institutions, they use the judiciary, the security, the way we have said in Tanzania, the members of opposition are arrested, they are detained, the 72 hours is not adhered to, the bail is denied, even no reason. That shows that the judiciary has been compromised. The security forces arrest members of parliament in Tanzania, they arrest them like chicken thieves. That is the same in Uganda. That is now trickling in Kenya. So that one shows you the impunity of the security forces, because they get their orders from the big man on top. So almost every national institution is now being controlled by the leadership, by those in power. That is what we mean by state capture. So the state has been captured, the media is under siege, everybody is under siege, the population is under siege. So don't expect any economic development. Without economic development, without investment, you are getting unemployment. Once you get a lot of unemployment, once you get a lot of hopelessness, then crime comes in. That is why it is becoming rife in Kampala. That is why it is becoming rife in Uganda, because the template is coming in from Uganda. Now in Uganda, with a lot of unemployment, with a lot of hopelessness, with a lot of economy which is skewed towards the few, those who are oppressed, those who have got no income, they have to turn to those who have. That is why it is becoming a case in Uganda. And it will spread in these other countries unless they arrest the situation.
Yeah, Isaac, the other thing that most people point out is the constitution of the media in the region. Most media are owned either by government officials or international corporations, which are easy to intimidate because of economic interests. Do you see that one hampering some freedom there?
Yes, because, you know, as in the case in Kenya, the main media houses are actually owned by politicians. If you look at the Standard Media Group, the media house that owns the KTN television and the Standard newspapers is owned by the Moi family, the former president. And now we have the K24, the MediaMax group that also owns the free distributed morning daily newspaper, the People Daily. And we now have information that Uhuru Kenyatta is actually eyeing shares in the Nation Media Group, because the Aga Khan is selling off part of his shares in the Nation Media Group. Once this is done, because, you know, Nation Media Group is actually the largest media group in Kenya and actually in the region. Once this is done, then the media is dead, because you can see how they are managing the other media houses, especially, the K24, the People Daily, and the state-owned media. So if we have an acquisition where a political entity or a political personality gets hold of a major newspaper like the Daily Nation, then actually the media independence in Kenya will be at its lowest.
I see. Charles, your take on that?
The media controlled by either powerful businesses or political actors would not be new to Uganda or to Kenya or to Tanzania or South Africa. You know that powerful sides and either sides of the divide in even the Western developed countries, the United States, the United Kingdom, and elsewhere, the media is controlled by conglomerates who sometimes might work with government. What is lacking in our country here is that the media establishments are too small, the development of the profession is not sufficient, and the politicians are not democratic enough to know where to stop and allow the media to operate independently. That's the biggest problem, and they have very little respect for the media. So they are looking at it for only purposes of control, to have their political aim or to have their economic interest. And that makes life very difficult, because at the end of the day, the ultimate loser is very often who should be the consumer of this information, the people trying to do a professional job as journalists, finding space to grow, to become, to influence the direction their countries are taking.
I see. Suleiman, we're about running out of time, but there are those who have observed that where countries where the other institutions have collapsed, where the judiciary is down, the security is down, the media can't actually do much because it has nobody to protect the media. They can't run to court because the courts are compromised. So what do you think about that?
No, it sums up to one thing, that the situation is unsustainable, because the media is trying to highlight, the media is trying to help the nation, but they are besieged by the small group which has captured the state. And this one, the only good thing about the situation in East Africa is that the opposition leadership has not succumbed to pressure. They are still fighting hard. If you look at the opposition in Kenya, they are trying. The opposition in Uganda, they are trying. And by exerting more pressure, maybe they'll be able to bring it to the attention of this small group that their situation is unsustainable. And to the lack, let's hope that the pressure which is now coming from President Kama of Botswana, who has decided to speak openly. For example, he has openly written a message appealing to the President Kabila to stand down. If we get other leaders to talk like President Kama of Botswana, maybe the region might get a change. Otherwise, the political stance which is there now is unsustainable. We are looking over a total economic collapse in the region unless the politicians in power realize now that there is a need to change to the better other than what they are doing.
I see. As we wind down, let me summary from Isaac. How do you see this strike being resolved? Or is it, can the government resolve it soon enough before people begin suffering? I'm talking about the lecturers and the doctors.
The experience we have here in Kenya is that the government is very slow normally in handling industrial actions by various workers. And, just the other day they were unable to handle the more critical, health worker strike, I doubt that they will look at the lecturer strike as a matter of urgency and deal with it with the speed that is desired. So we expect a longer industrial action until probably when the students and the university community put more pressure on the government. Probably that's when they will come up and try to deal with it. But they are normally very adamant. They have no. They are not. They don't really look at this as a matter of urgency.
I see. As we can't end this program without mentioning a colleague, a Ugandan journalist who I'm told passed away today, by Teddy Says Cheye, who was a good journalist. He owned a media. Had a magazine. Charles, in about a minute, tell us about Cheye and what happened to him.
Cheye was killed this afternoon in Kampala. He was knocked by a motorcycle, which are common here in Kampala, called the Border Borders, in the outskirts of Nakawa. He was crossing the road. Cheye is a Kupedi journalist. He was a leading investigative journalist for many years at his news magazine, the Uganda Confidential. He was one of the people who founded the Monitor, the Monitor newspaper, and was one of those journalists who understood and were passionate about reporting economics. So it's a very sad thing. He's been a guest on my show several times. Mm-hmm. And Douglas, if you'll allow me to digress just 1 second.
Yes.
East African leaders gathered in Kampala only last week to discuss grand infrastructure projects. They forgot to discuss the politics of the region.
Exactly.
Conveniently so, I think.
Conveniently so, yes.
Yes. So, gentlemen, we are out of time. Okay, we wanted to talk about what they discussed and the infrastructure things, whatever. But that will be for another day. That wraps up this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank our panel, Isaac Hongiri, a senior political reporter for the Daily Nation newspaper and the chairman of the Political Journalists Association of Kenya, Charles Mwanguhi Ampagi, East African Bureau Chief in Kampala, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst based in South Africa. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being on the show.
The pleasure is
ours. You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our producer tonight was, as usual, Jackson Mufunganyi, and our engineer was Tian Wang. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that in case you missed any or part of this program, you can still get access to it by going to our main website at voanews.com, click on Programs, and scroll down to Reporters Roundtable. You can also drop us a line. Our email is reporters@voanews.com. Once again, thanks very much for tuning in, and until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Simpuga, wishing you all the best.
Stay tuned for Africa News Tonight.